Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you what's doing in Western Michigan. What's doing in Western Michigan? A transcribed roundup of the news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as recounted in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. It would be pleasant and restful on a Sunday afternoon to begin this broadcast with a cheerful and lighthearted item of some sort. But what your reporter has read in the newspapers of Western Michigan for today's broadcast leaves him anything but cheerful and lighthearted. It is common to read in the papers about people being hurt in automobile accidents, and from time to time in different towns of traffic fatalities. But never during more than 2 years that I've been reading these papers have I seen anything so frightful as last week's report of the carnage on our highways. Injuries are becoming commonplace, even serious injuries. Deaths in auto accidents are becoming more and more a regular occurrence. You read about them in your hometown paper, but maybe you don't realize that other communities are adding to the terrible toll. We would be aghast if a war took as many lives from our part of the state in a week's time as were snuffed out on our highways in Western Michigan last week. Here's just a few of the worst cases. The Newaygo Republican tells how 6 men and women were killed when a truck in which they were riding crashed through the guardrail of a bridge over the Muskegon River near Newaygo. 2 of the women who were killed left several small children. The Holland Evening Sentinel reported a Coopersville boy fatally injured and his brother in serious condition when the bicycle they were riding hit a car. The Athens Times tells that a 5-year-old Sherwood girl was killed in an automobile crack-up. The South Haven Daily Tribune tells that a covert man was killed when his car overturned. The Hastings Banner reports the slaughter of 6 young men, 4 of them fathers, in a series of automobile accidents on Berry County highways. 5 others were injured. The Lowell Ledger relates that 6 were injured in traffic mishaps near that town. A frightful crash near Belding took the life of a 19-year-old young man who was co-captain of Ionia's high school football team in 1947, according to the Belding Banner News. Here are the people who were killed in these accidents. Carol Stanton, 19. Harold Norton, 19. Harold Bauer, 23. Richard Boomer, 21. James Phelps, 25. Richard Raisley, 31. Raymond Allen, 17. Leonard Collum, 59. Martha Burgu, 5. Wellington Lown, 13. Foster Lyerso, 42. Jesse James, 40. Willie Mae Barnett, 35. Sadie Siniger, 35. Sadie White, 25. Dorothy White, 20. 16 people in 1 week. Michigan towns and cities were preparing last week for their annual community chess drives next month. The Lake Odessa Wave reported 7 groups would merge their needs in the campaign in that town. The Holland Evening Sentinel stated that $37,333 would be sought in that city. Greenville's goal will be about $1,000 less than last year, according to the Greenville Daily News. A campaign for funds to build a 60-bed addition to the Lee Memorial Hospital in Dowagiac gets underway this week, according to the Cassopolis Vigilant, and the Ionia Sentinel Standard reports that plans are being discussed for a hospital campaign in Ionia County. The A&PT Company had full-page advertisements in every paper I saw last week asking for public support to combat the move by the government to force the company to break up its nationwide chain of food stores. The newspapers, almost without exception, kicked in with a lot of free news space to tell the same story. There were no less than 3 news stories in the Charlotte Republican Tribune about it. Merle H. Defoe, editor of the Charlotte Republican Tribune and probably the best-known weekly newspaper editor in Michigan, has started an around-the-world trip. He expects to be away 3 months and will begin by visiting cities on the China coast. Mr. Defoe is a discerning observer, and his reports on this trip, which he will send back for publication in the Charlotte Republican Tribune, will be very much worth following. He sent letter number 1 last week, and it appeared on the front page. It was datelined, Heading West. The county fair season is drawing to a close. This week is fair week in Kalamazoo and Hillsdale. and the Van Buren County Fair at Hartford next week will close the season, so far as Western Michigan is concerned. The Galesburg Argus reminded its readers last week that youngsters are going to have Tuesday off to go to the fair in Kalamazoo County. And the Vicksburg Commercial had an excellent story on the Kalamazoo County Fair. Two Vicksburg people have prominent roles in the fair, Fred Smith, who's in charge of the harness races, and Mrs. Forrest Weinberg, who is chairman of the school exhibits. By the way, WKZO will bring its listeners broadcast from the Kalamazoo Fair this week on Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7:15. The town of Decatur will hold its annual celery festival next weekend. They've elected a queen of celery in the person of Miss Donna Durbin, a high school senior. The Centerville Fair last week had some bad breaks from the weatherman, but preliminary reports indicate that attendance held up very well. The Allegan News reported that almost 70,000 attended the Allegan Fair this year. Pawpaw's Grape Festival began last Thursday evening when Queen Corrine Stearns was crowned by Governor Williams, says the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. Our news editor, Tony Gaston, who judged the pet parade over there on Friday, tells me that it was a very successful affair. You may have heard our WKZO broadcast of the parade yesterday afternoon. Now for some of the lighter side of the news, here's my colleague, Hugh Harper.
Thank you, Doctor. The Newaygo marshal who was arrested by a conservation officer for carrying a gun pled guilty and paid his fine last week. He said he did so in order to keep two minors who were with him from arrest. He asserts he was within his rights in carrying a gun and that when arrested he was about to shoot a cat. He was not hunting deer, he said. Well, the Common Council last week hired a new marshal, says the Newaygo Republican. The Cedar Springs Clipper says that town is getting all set for Red Flannel Day, November 12th. Cedar Springs is the home of red underwear, you know. Well, they're going to have a red flannel queen, says the paper. We've got to see this, and a lumberjack supper. Spike Jones, who's going to bring his musical depreciation outfit to Grand Rapids this week, has written in for two suits of red flannels, one for a 7-foot-7-inch fellow and one for a 4-foot-3-incher. Headline in the Three Rivers Commercial, tries moving house with auto arrested. Well, it seems a Marcellus lady started her car from a park position. She went off the road, missed a tree, and smashed into a house. She was issued a summons by the state police for allegedly driving while under the influence of intoxicating beverages. Maybe a lot of folks feel the way a lady in Cedar Springs does. Last week, she sent this verse to the paper. I like the old-time choo-choo's toot. It's mournful, long, drawn-out salute. It struck a friendly note, it seems, and didn't granulate my dreams. The modern diesel's grisly bleat is no such reassuring treat. I hear its querulous refrain and cower neath the counterpane. Now here's Dr. Dunbar with more prose.
Editor Paul Mixter of the South Haven Daily Tribune and editor Leo Hoffman of the Allegan Gazette are still arguing in their editorial columns about the matter of World Federation. We have read both sides and are impressed by this lively argument. But unfortunately, very few of Mr. Mixter's customers read what Mr. Hoffman writes, and few of Mr. Hoffman's constituents are exposed to Mr. Mixter's side of the story. We'd like to offer these two gentlemen the use of our facilities here at WKZO for a broadcast in which each one of them would have 10 minutes for argument and 4 minutes for rebuttal. Or if they prefer, they may send their seconds. Now for some random items in the newspapers last week. The Cassopolis Vigilant says that town is to have a new factory. The manufacturers of a kind of portable hoist have purchased land and started to build a plant there. Also in Cassopolis, representatives of the Michigan United Conservation Clubs in Kalamazoo, Van Buren, Cass, and St. Joseph counties are holding a meeting this afternoon, according to the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. Issues important to sportsmen are being discussed. There are about 4,500 members in these four counties and 19 clubs. Sturgis Journal tells that Coldwater is erecting a new $20,000 football stadium. Another item from the Sturgis Journal tells that three local service clubs, Rotary, Kiwanis, and Exchange, have united to buy a portable polio lung, costing $1,200. Phineas Wheat, a 23-year-old young man of Sturgis, will be the first one to use this polio lung. It's made of plastic, metal, and rubber, and can accommodate two patients at a time. The Charlotte Republican Tribune reports that local merchants will go to school each Monday night for the next 10 weeks, taking a course in retail merchandising taught by instructors from Michigan State College. Don Hinderleiter, owner and publisher of the Nashville News, has bought the newspaper at Vermontville, the Vermontville Echo. The South Haven Daily Tribune reports a forum discussion sponsored by the local Chamber of Commerce last week on ways and means of attracting conventions to South Haven. Gloria Richards, the manager of the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, reports a trend to take conventions into smaller communities and away from the big cities. The Athens Times reports the local community association has started plans for their annual Halloween party for local youngsters. And in Three Rivers, according to the Three Rivers commercial, the Junior Chamber of Commerce is working on plans for a bang-up Halloween for the toddler age on up. Athens dedicated a new football bowl last Friday evening, says the Athens Times. The Lowell Ledger reports that the Congregational Church in the town of Ada is celebrating its 100th anniversary today. Consumers Power Company had advertisements in several of the newspapers last week announcing plans for a big barbecue and a celebration over in Hillsdale County on October 6th, when its 100,000th farm customer will be connected. Listen to WKZO's program Women Today next Monday at 9:30 a.m. when Betty Fuller will tell you an interesting story of two unique business enterprises which were started in Sturgis last week by women, as reported in an issue of the Sturgis Journal. The Constantine Advertiser Record announces that voters in Constantine last Monday approved by a 3-to-1 margin a proposal for a bond issue to expand the municipal electric plant in Constantine. The Waterbleat Record states that Sony Rogers, a Waterbleat girl, won the state championship in baton twirling at the state fair. The Allegan Gazette reports that the American Legion has helped alleviate Allegan's crowded schoolrooms by renting one of its meeting rooms to the schools for class use. In Centerville last week, not even the big fair quieted arguments about the location of the town's new fire hall. Finally, Mayor Gus Weber decided that he'd had enough and that they'd take a referendum on the issue October 3rd, when there's also to be an election on a bond issue for sewers, according to the Centerville Observer. Also from Centerville, a fellow named Wendell Vincent, a student at the Centerville High School and quite a football hero, had a bad case of the mumps last week. So Wendell had to miss the first football game, he had to miss the Centerville Fair, and he had to miss playing his solo part in the band contest yesterday morning. That's too bad, Wendell. We're sorry. But we think you'll get better. And in conclusion, the Lakeview Enterprise up in Montcalm County brings us news that 110,000 bushels of pickles were raised around there this year. That's a lot of pickles. And now, the weather. Next Sunday at 4:30, we'll be around again with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan. For the latest farm market reports and news, listen to Carl Collin each weekday morning at 6:30 over WKZO. For the late high school football scores, hear Tom Carson each Friday night at 11:15. And for the best in radio entertainment, be sure to keep your dial set to the place where the announcer says, ¶¶